good guy, love a good deal, he's gonna take. Lean back and stay a while, now here's my letter.
That's right, don't move. You want to hear about a cap that's worth hundreds of millions of dollars, don't you? And about Mexican chilies so hot you need gloves just to pick them up, right? And you want to hear lots of the latest music, n'est-ce-pas? May we. So stay with Monitor 67 and me, Gene Rayburn. You've got your troubles, but none of them come from listening to the trouble-free sounds of Jamie and the J. Sylvia Singers.
You got your troubles, I got mine. She found somebody else to take your place. You got your troubles, I got mine. I too have lost my love today. All of my dreams have gone away. Now just like you, I sit and wonder why. You got your troubles, I got mine. You need some sympathy, well, so do I. You got your troubles, I got mine. She used to love me, that I know. And it don't seem so long ago that we were walking, that we were talking. If I seem unkind, you got your troubles, I got mine. I'd open another place another time. You got your troubles, I got mine.
Hey, Mr. American Motors Rambler Dealer. You the guy who sells the U.S. Compact at an import price?
That's me. Surprise?
Yeah, but I'm really interested in your surprise deals on a bigger car like the 1967 Rebel.
That's no surprise. Everybody is. Here, put on this elaborate hat with the funny horns.
Ooh, not so tight.
It's a little invention. Every time you register surprise, your brain impulses make the horns honk.
Yes, son of a gun.
Now, look at this 1967 Rebel.
Okay.
See? Surprised already.
Hey, this a Rebel?
Right. We call it the excitement machine.
Yeah.
Lots of options. Four on the floor, bucket seats, 343 cubes. Tom McCahill of Mechanics Illustrated says there isn't a better intermediate-sized car sold in the U.S. than the 1967 Rebel. Hey, take off the hat.
Boy, am I surprised. I'll take it.
The Rebel?
The hat.
Oh.
And the Rebel. Surprise?
No, Rebels outsell the hats 5-1.
Surprise time is a good time to get your kind of deal on your kind of car at your American Motors Rambler dealer.
I like the way it tastes.
I agree. There's nothing like a lark.
Lark has a good, easy taste.
Lark has an inner chamber of charcoal granules for a taste people really like.
I think they're the nicest cigarette there is.
Right. There's nothing like a lark.
There is nothing like a lark. It's America's most popular new cigarette.
The gentleman with me now at monitor has described himself as a kindergarten dropout. He's also been a shoeshine boy, a proofreader, chief obituary writer on an Indiana newspaper. He moved up to feature writer on major newspapers. He's finally has become the author of a series of wildly hilarious books, among them Low Man on a Totem Pole, Life in a Putty Knife Factory, and Rhubarb. We enjoy his conversation so much that every time he writes a new book, we use it as a pretext to get him to Radio Central. So, H. Allen Smith, greetings to you.
Well, let's not make it sound like Christmas until we've gone a little further, Gene.
How about telling our listeners the name of your newest brainchild?
The name of my newest book is Son of Rhubarb. Mm-hmm. It's one of those mysterious titles, very difficult to explain, because it happens to be about the son of rhubarb.
Well, Rhubarb was another book, right?
Rhubarb was a book that I wrote 20-some years ago, and it was made into a movie. Mm-hmm. It was a bestseller, and it was about a cat named Rhubarb.
Yeah.
And this cat inherited a lot of money, several million dollars, and a big league baseball team. And he was not a cat who could talk or do anything else spectacular that a cat couldn't ordinarily do.
Mm-hmm.
However, he was an inspirational critter.
Son of Rhubarb, I assume, is he carrying on in the same crazy, wacky, loony tradition?
The son of Rhubarb, 432 times as wealthy as the original Rhubarb, just owns everything. Probably owns NBC, as far as I can make out. Owns a chain of resort hotels. Owns a vast fleet of luxury cruise vessels.
Mm-hmm.
Owns an automobile factory out in Michigan. One office buildings, ranches, oil fields.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Don't say too much about it or people won't buy the book.
Well, I don't mind letting them know how rich he is. You know, people go for rich people. Cats.
Is he really son of Rhubarb?
He is so established as his legitimacy is established in a court trial with a setting in New York, which takes up almost, I should think, a third, the middle part of the book, is a courtroom trial, paternity case, and it is the funniest, wildest, craziest, most beautiful courtroom trial in the history of English literature. Now, you know, Gene, I would never say that about anything that I wrote.
No.
But you heard me say it.
And Louis Neiser, no doubt, it was retained by Rupert.
Oh, Perry Mason, Louis Neiser. And Ed Williams,
yeah,
and all these people. The defenders are in there.
We can't talk about your book, H. Allen Smith.
Well, let's go.
It's just too kooky. And it's a novel, and you don't want to give it away anyway. Let's talk about other things.
All right, fine.
And we'll get to those other things, H. Allen Smith, after Monitor deals with a number of other things, among them messages like this.
And best personal regards, sincerely, etc., etc. Now, read that back to me, Miss Jones. Miss Jones.
When you can't afford to be dull, sharpen your wits with No-Doze. No-Doze Keep Alert tablets or new chewable mints, safe as coffee, help you become more naturally alert to people and conditions around you.
Sharpen your wits with No-Doze. No-Doze keeps you alert.
While you're staying alert, stay with us on the Monitor Beacon. Gene Rayburn once again at 18 minutes past the hour, 4 minutes away from the second half of my conversation with humorist H. Allen Smith, and no minutes away from Ed Ames' latest, Timeless Love, on Monitor.
Timeless love, tender love, joyful love, gentle love, wondrous love, love divine, you're one half angel, one half pine. Softest love, strongest love, strangest love, youngest love, endless love, love divine, you're one half angel, and you're one half mine. Purest love, precious love, surest love, blessed love, how can love shine so bright. How can love be so right? Timeless love, gentle love, wondrous love, love divine. You are half angel and you are half mine.
Coppertone's Hollywood co-star of Banning, a Universal picture. I guess you're an authority on the country club crowd, Jill.
Because of the picture? Well, that depends on whether the country clubbers in Banning are typical army.
If they are, all club membership should zoom sky high, Jill. Banning's a sizzler, and your performance is just great.
Thank you, sir. But something tells me you're leading the witness.
Now, how could I do that?
Easily. Country club talk makes me think of the outdoors. The sun.
And the Coppertone?
You see? Well, I confess. I've joined the Tannibals, and I'm glad. I think Coppertone gives you a better tan.
Know why? Coppertone's enriched with special moisturizers that make your skin more tannable.
And keep it so satiny smooth.
You're a most cooperative witness, Jill.
I love the deep, rich tan I get with Coppertone.
That's my case. Thank you, Jill St. John.
A man from Silver Spoon asks, is there snob appeal in cooking with accent? Well, if you like to have the upper hand when it comes to great barbecues, accent is in a class all by itself. The distinction doesn't come from bribing the butcher, growing your own rare herbs and spices, but by waking up all the flavor possible with accent. Keeping your nose in the air isn't the only way to get into high society. You must do everything in extremely good taste, and that's where accent comes in.
A few minutes ago, you may have heard my guest, H. Allen Smith, and I agree to talk about subjects other than his latest and very funny novel, Son of Rhubarb. And I thought, since he prides himself on being something of a whiz at cooking, we'd have a go at that. Do you have any particular special style, H.?
Well, my style is partly Mexican,
yeah.
Partly Italian,
mm-hmm.
Little bit of French.
Yeah.
Some Middle Western.
Listen, do you really grow your own vegetables, too?
I grow quite a few of them. I specialize in growing hot peppers on a little garden plot 35 miles straight north of where we're sitting in Rockefeller Center.
Mm-hmm.
People find this hard to believe that you can grow Mexican and Central American chilies in Westchester County, but I do it every year, and people also think that I am making things up when I say that some of these peppers are so hot that you have to wear rubber gloves when you pick them off the vine, and this is true. And I wear rubber gloves when I pick them off the vine, I wear rubber gloves when I chop them up to put them in sauces and so on, but I eat them.
Hold on.
I eat them.
For years, I have wondered.
I wrap rubber gloves around them and eat them.
I have wondered for years why you have such a ruddy complexion.
That's whiskey. That's not...
That's the old booze.
Yeah.
The UZ.
Yeah.
No, but listen, if you have to wear rubber gloves to pick them, what must they do to your insides when you eat them?
Oh, they stimulate your digestive juices.
I'll say they do.
Yes, so that you can eat nails, you know, after you've had a few of those.
They really call you the chili king? Is it the chili king?
I call myself the king, let me see how it goes, the king of the independent chili heads, because I am a chili maker from way back, or as we used to say in southern Illinois, I'm a chili maker to who laid the chunk. You remember that? I make chili better than anybody else on earth, and I don't mind bragging about that.
I make pretty good chili myself.
Slop. I say it without qualification. Without ever looking at it.
I'll challenge you to a chili match.
A razorback hog would turn his back on your chili. That's the way it is with all chili makers.
Oh, listen, buddy, I make superb chili. I really do.
Well, you're fighting a losing battle, Gene, because you would scorn my chili. This is part of being a chili maker, is that you hate all other chili.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
I have an article coming out on this subject in Holiday Magazine in the August issue.
Do you give away your recipes?
I do. Finally, I'm getting old, and I figured it's time that I did something for humanity. And I am going to get the people who make this chili according to my recipe is not only going to take the tartar off their teeth, it'll take the enamel off and then the teeth. That's what I'm doing for humanity, you know.
Friends, you're listening to a man who's trying to give you the impression that his entire legacy to the world will be a chili recipe, but that's not true. He's written a good many amusing books, and it sounds like an obit. The world has been better off for having been visited for a long time, and I hope it'll continue for a long time, by H. Allen Smith. Nice to see you again.
Thank you, Gene, and come up someday and have some of my good chili, will you?
Thank you, I will.
Who says nobody likes a yes man? We know a yes man who's one of the best-liked men in town. He's your Oldsmobile dealer. And he's saying yes during his annual year-end sale. Want a beautifully engineered new Olds at your kind of price? The answer is yes. And that goes for any Olds in stock. The elegant 98. The fabulous front-wheel drive Toronado. The value-packed Delmont 88. The youthful Cutlass Supreme. The spacious Vista Cruiser station wagon. You're hoping for a big trade-in allowance on your present car? The answer is yes. Here's your chance for a great buy on a car famous for its superb ride, comfort, and rocket V8 power. Olds dealer is saying yes. His stock is thinning out fast. See him at your very first opportunity. Tell him you want a great deal on a 67 Rocket Oldsmobile. All he can say is yes.
Tune goes back to the World War I era. The treatment by Reuben Mitchell doesn't go any further back than now, 1967. This is Monitor, which goes everywhere in the U.S. of A. on NBC. In California's Imperial Valley, folks are hearing us. And KXO, El Centro, and there and everywhere, you'll be hearing us again in a few moments. Gene Rayburn here.
Follow the excitement of the All-Star Baseball game next Tuesday on NBC Radio and Television. If you'd like to be a winner, join Sterling Yates on Fortune Phone. Mrs. Sophia Dulefsky of Roosevelt, Long Island, did, and she won $1,200. Be a winner. Listen to Fortune Phone and make sure Sterling has your number. That's Fortune Phone, weekdays at 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. 78 degrees and partly cloudy in the greater metropolitan area. WNBC, New York.
That was the Andre Castellanet's version of Born Free. Next, the Ray Charles singers with Little by Little, Bit by Bit, on Monitor, Note by Note. With you, Monitor 67, Gene Rayburn, and Dean Martin.
How I love to hear the organ in the chapel in the moonlight, while we're strolling down the aisle, where roses entwine. In the chapel in the moonlight, set the love light in your eyes, forever will shine. Till the roses turn to ashes, till the organ turns to rust. If you never come, I'll still be there, till the moonlight turns to dust. How I love to hear the choir in the chapel in the moonlight, as they sing, oh, promise me, forever be mine. To be roses turns to ashes, till the organ turns to rust. To hear the choir in the chapel in the moonlight, as they sing, oh, promise me, forever be mine.
In the chapel in the moonlight.
Dean Martin's latest on Monitor.
Hi, this is Coppertone's Hollywood correspondent, Army Archer, visiting glamorous Charlene Holt. And let's talk about your current picture, Charlene, El Dorado.
Well, Army, it's a big Western in the classic style.
That's right, lusty, explosive, filled with action.
And humor.
But because of El Dorado, I'll never play cards with you again.
Just because I learned a few card tricks for my part?
Learn to be an expert.
Well, I promise not to use them on you.
I'll hold you to that, Charlene. But say, you're also an expert on getting a terrific suntan.
No trick to that, Army, when you use Coppertone.
You've joined the Tannables, eh?
Certainly. Coppertone really gives you a better tan.
It's enriched to make your skin more tannable and to guard against skin dryness.
Yes, I get a beautiful tan, deep and dark, and I love the way it keeps my skin satiny smooth.
Then you agree. Tan, don't burn. Use Coppertone.
Of course. Double in spades.
Charlene Holt, you promised.
Sorry about that.
Now, Monitor Sports. The Wandering Wheels, a group of 35 high school and college students, recently completed a coast-to-coast bicycle ride 2,500 miles in 27 days from San Diego to Savannah. The leader of the tour, former UCLA All-America fullback Bob Davenport, currently the football coach at Taylor University in Upland, Indiana, discussing the wheels with Monitor reporter Burl Womack, stationed WSAV Savannah.
Bob, what sort of physical stamina does it take to do a bicycle ride of this magnitude? Let's compare it, say, to playing football, with which you're very familiar.
I don't believe there's anything I've ever been in that seems to demand more of the person than cranking a bicycle 12 hours a day. I've seen these kids ride that bicycle up to 20, 30 miles without stopping. Their bodies are dripping wet from head to toe with sweat. It's really a grown man's day's work. In fact, there's not a way to... I don't think there's anything to compare it to in the work standard.
What's the age range of these boys?
This group we're working with, I think you put them out from about 17 through 22.
Did you have anyone drop out on this trip?
No, we didn't. And you know, this is the fun of it. We've had fellas who have wanted to drop out. But these kids become a team, just like in football or basketball, and there's a great deal of respect on their part. And I really don't believe they'd let a kid drop out unless he had serious injury. They'll coax him along, they'll plead with him, they'll love him, they'll baby him, and really get him up mentally so that he will continue the trip. And Once again, this is one of the good byproducts of what we're doing, this rapport, this camaraderie that has developed. And you see a lot of the beauty of the human being come out when they can give themselves to another man to bring him up to a pitch whereby he can continue on the trip.
Bob, you conceived this idea some years ago, did you not?
That's right. About 4 years ago, we gave first expression to it, and that was on a shorter tour, a 1,000-mile tour. And we just wanted to see if it would work. We took an old truck and a trailer and put boys up on the Mississippi headwaters and came right down along the Mississippi on the Great River Road. And it's just beautiful, the thing that happened. We couldn't put our finger on it, but these fellas that we worked with, about 15 of them, were different people when we got done with them. They had worked together. They had met people. They had become a proud lot. They learned to communicate. We got them home. We found that a young lad would go and maybe help Mom with the dishes now, where he wouldn't have done it before. He'd take care of his clothes a little bit better. He would he had a little bit of inner self now they hadn't had before. And, boy, this is a tremendous byproduct and one that we believe is rich.
Now, how do you recruit these fellas?
Well, basically, it's first come, first serve. We usually find that a boy won't really inquire or become seriously interested unless he has a little bit of an athletic background. And not that this is really the most important thing, but he would have to be a little bit in shape. We've never had an obese boy or a fellow who couldn't handle a bicycle even be interested.
Right. Well, Bob, I want to certainly wish you well on your next tour and congratulate you on this one. This is quite an accomplishment. I've been talking with Bob Davenport, twice All-American fullback for UCLA, and now leader of the Wandering Wheels, who've just completed a coast-to-coast bicycle trip. This is Burl Womack reporting for Monitor Sports.
For the most complete colorful coverage of sports every weekend, stay with Monitor. And for the most colorful single game in baseball, the All-Star Game, be sure to tune in to NBC Radio and Television this coming Tuesday, July 11th.
When your skin is bothered by chafing and minor irritations, you need the soothing relief of Ammon's medicated powder. Ammon's helps your skin's natural defenses with moisture absorbents to help keep skin dry, cool feeling, comfortable, with skin protectives to guard against rubbing and chafing.
And Ammon's is an effective deodorant, too. Helps keep you fresh all over.
For the protection your skin needs, use Ammon's every day.
Music on Monitor, Stout-Hearted Men. A famous song by Rudolph Frimmel in a brand new version by Barbara Streisand.
You who have dreams, if you act, they will come true. To turn your dreams to a fact, it's up to you. If you have the soul and the spirit, never fear it, you'll see it through. Hearts can inspire other hearts with their fire, for the strong obey when a strong man shows them the way. Give me some men who are stout-hearted men, who will fight for the right they adore. Start me with 10 who are stout-hearted men, and I'll soon give you 10,000 more. Shoulder to shoulder, and bolder and bolder, they grow as they go to the fore.
time now, 14 minutes before the hour, and you're on the monitor beacon.
It's America's most popular new cigarette.
I like the taste. Simple as that.
I think everybody who smokes should try Lark.
There's nothing like a Lark.
Lark has an inner chamber of charcoal granules for a taste people really like.
Have a Lark today.
Great smoke. Glad I changed.
Hey, there's nothing like a Lark.
Have a Lark today.
There is nothing like a Lark. Have one.
Linda Vibrato, warming up for this evening's performance of La Cacciatora. What's the matter, Linda?
Seem to be having trouble with my treble.
Here, have a glass of V8. That'll give you a lift.
Looks good, like tomato juice.
But it's V8 vegetable juice. V8 has the natural goodness of 8 healthful garden vegetables. No single juice can match it.
I still say it looks like tomato juice.
Try V8 and see.
Wow, it sure doesn't taste like tomato juice.
Of course not. It tastes like V8.
A lot of talk these days about beautifying America. Monitor is happy to report that someone is not just talking, but doing. A lady in Memphis, Tennessee, Mrs. William Lee Bankston, a sort of latter-day Johnny Appleseed. He was the one who went around planting apple trees, remember? This lady has been going around trying to beautify the often bare and littered borders of roads and highways by scattering capsules filled with wild flower seeds, and she's been succeeding. Reporter Don Hickman asked her for the details.
Mrs. Bankston, how did you get the idea of planting wildflowers by capsule?
Several years ago, my husband and I were driving along a brand new interstate highway, and we were dismayed at how ugly and raw it was and such cut-over poor soil. It had no beauty at all, and I began to dream as I drove along, thinking of how could Johnny Appleseed be revived. And how to do it. That was the problem.
So how did you do it?
Well, the only thing I could think of that wouldn't be litter, such as a paper package of wildflower seeds, was something that would melt. And what would melt? Well, what would melt? Well, I finally dreamt up the big gelatin capsule that you take your medicine in.
Now, the name of the project is Wildflowers USA. Is this the name that you have given it? And is it a national project at this point?
Well, I would like it to be, and the reason I chose that was that I felt like that somehow or other the flowers of Washington might grow in Florida, and some that are growing in Kansas might grow in Maine. There's no telling what wildflowers will do if you give them a chance.
How successful has this project been here in Tennessee?
It's a very slow thing to get started because wildflowers are rather tricky about germinating, but once they get going, they spread rapidly. And what I had in mind was that Virginia can't have all the bluebells. We'd like to have some. And California poppies would be beautiful in Tennessee. So what I'm hoping is a natural migration of flowers.
Has the State Highway Department hindered your project in any way by cutting the grass along the expressway and thus cutting some of the flowers that have bloomed?
No, indeed. They're very enthusiastic about my project, and they've cooperated beautifully. They have areas which they call set aside for regeneration, and that means that they will not mow it for 5 years or do selective mowing, in other words, when everything is in seed, and then 5 years later come back and cull out the undesirable plants. That way, the highway will beautify itself at no cost to the taxpayers and with indigenous plants, which, after all, is what the traveler would like to see.
What do the people think about you when they see you out along the expressway sowing your capsules with wildflower seeds in them?
Oh, they think I'm a real kook. I usually wear a red coat so that I won't get run over. And I look sort of like a crazy ballet dancer scattering the seed. Nobody can see the seeds coming out of my hand, so it looks like I'm just making a silly gesture.
What is your hope for this project nationally?
Well, because it's getting too big for me, I would love for a national sponsor to take over and get some kind of a machine that will manufacture the capsules in a less tedious way than doing them by hand. And it would be nice to have national distribution where they can be given to children and motorists to throw out from state to state.
Mrs. Bankston, thank you so much for being with us today on Monitor.
It was a pleasure. Gave the old girl a big kick.
Thank you very much. This is Don Hickman in Memphis for Monitor.
Now, there's someone who deserves a sincere round of applause. Not only is she a doer, but she exhibits a fine sense of humor. Our hats are off to Mrs. William Lee Bankston of Memphis, Tennessee.
Grandma, you know what? A button came off my dolly's dress.
You can't sew on a button by long distance. But grandparents can laugh and chat with their grandchildren. And as they do, the miles between melt away.
You know what, Grandma? I miss you so much.
Well, the next time you see them,
can I come
you
over?
Can do a lot of loving by telephone. That's why the Bell system says that long distance is the next best thing to being there.
Hi, Mr. American Motors Rambler Dealer.
We have surprises for you.
Gee, a lollipop.
Listen to what Tom McCahill of Mechanics Illustrated says.
There isn't a better intermediate-sized car sold in the U.S. today than the 1967 Rebel.
Was that McCahill?
That was my son, the ventriloquist. Now, look at the low price tag on this Rebel.
Dad, all he wants is a lollipop.
Get back in the box.
You get your kind of deal on your kind of car at your American Motors Rambler dealer. Now, during surprise time.
Today's Little Bird, and it tells me that this hour is over. Next one, with latest NBC Monitor news to start just a few moments ahead. Gene Rayburn here.
Keep tuned, the latest news now is on the air. Keep tuned for sports and views now from everywhere. Go ahead.